strength through order. That is Tekken. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, we're headed back to the arcade once more to review what is often considered to be one of the worst martial art films ever made, 2009's Tekken. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. Throughout this year, we have been going to the arcade to get hyped for the Mortal Kombat 2 and the upcoming Street Fighter reboot films. And as I've been diving into these various martial art fighting games films that have come out over the years, as I've been getting more and more into them, there is one question that keeps coming back up, which essentially is insert movie's name here really that bad? Video game films in general over the past few decades have not been received very well by fans, by critics. They're not very financially successful. They review terribly on Rotten Tomatoes. There's been a few exceptions, obviously. You know, Resident Evil was able to lean into their whole schlockiness and turn out a whole financially successful franchise off the back end of it. But really, up until fairly recently, the past 5 years or so, video game films have not been as mainstream successful as other geeky IPs would. And even now, for every Sonic the Hedgehog franchise, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, there is still a return to Silent Hill, a movie that came out earlier this year. Like, there's still pretty bad video game films every once in a while. Now, when you look at the scores on Rotten Tomatoes, if you go off of the Rotten Tomato meter thing, I have reviewed some pretty rough movies this year. Chances are, if I really pulled up the entire film catalog of movies I've checked out so far for this show, I imagine most of them would be pretty bad according to Rotten Tomatoes. But I have reviewed some pretty rough movies. Overall, I skimmed through the list of video game films and their scores on Rotten Tomatoes. And overall, most video game films fall somewhere in the teens, the 30s, and very few make it past 65%. Like, there are some. Again, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 is like the highest rated asterisk. Video game movie with an 86. That asterisk we'll talk about more in a future episode, hopefully later this month, but we'll see. But for the most part, most video game movies, especially these fighting game movies that I've been checking out this year, don't review very well. They fall somewhere pretty low. But as I've been wrestling with this question of, is insert title of movie here really that bad? Over and over again, I keep coming back to you all saying, well, actually, no, there. Maybe it's not a great, fantastic movie, the greatest thing I've ever seen, but there are redeeming qualities to it. Very recently, we'll run some of these back. Very recently, I checked out DOA Dead or Alive. And like I said, if you can get past some of its dated early 2000s go daddy sexy sexiness, then yeah, it's a pretty fun watch. It's got some good action in it, kind of a fun schlocky sci-fi plot. Like, it's a good time. Double Dragon. Yeah. It looks and feels more like a Disney Channel original movie than it does like a major motion picture. But you know what? That's not necessarily like the worst thing in the world. I've seen worse movies. Like, it's, and even Mortal Kombat Annihilation, when Joe Day and I got together to review that one, we probably gave it the best review that movie has ever gotten in the history of nerds talking on the internet. Like, like, the time and time again, we keep coming back to this idea that, is that movie really that bad? No, it's not. It truly, I think this kind of a movie, video game movies, fighting game movies, I think it's just not what mainstream professional reviewers, film bros, whatever, I think it's just not their cup of tea. I would love for one of these to finally come out and just blow the whole thing out of the water. Have a Sonic the Hedgehog moment for this genre of subgenre of films. But overall, we just haven't quite had that yet. Now, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, 4%. And I will have to review this one here in a few weeks, and I'm not excited for it. But Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, 3%. Tekken from 2009 is still worse. You can go into the negatives on Rotten Tomatoes. There's a Steven Seagal film in the negative, so I definitely need to get to that one at some point. But of all the video game films, all of them, because I was even looking at other things, other movies I'm planning on getting to here later this year, nothing is as bad as 2009's Tekken with a flat 0%. And so once again, listeners, I went into this movie asking that same question again. Maybe it is true. Maybe this whole time I have preparing myself for the final boss in the King of Dookie Fist tournament as I square up against this movie. But let's ask it, and you can say it with me, folks. Is Tekken really that bad? Tekken debuted in arcades in 1994. Making us the same age. Tekken and I are the same age, and I'm actually a few months older than Tekken, which is quite the statement. But I would have to say, Tekken, we have aged so well. We look great for 32. Debuted in arcades in 94, was ported over to the OG PlayStation in 95, and by 1998, we were all graced with what would be the best game in the franchise, I believe earliest introduction to the fighting game franchise and fighting games in general, Tekken 3. In all, there are 9 mainline games in the Tekken franchise, with the most recent game, Tekken 9, having come out back in 2024. Excuse me, Tekken 8. Can't count. Tekken 8 came out in 2024. Tekken has managed to maintain a very unique identity within the fighting game franchises, you know, the big ones, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Dead or Alive. The thing that helps Tekken stand out in this sea of people punching each other is the fact that it's a little bit more storyline-wise soap opera. It's a little bit more soap opery. Actually, as somebody who's watched a lot of pro wrestling throughout their life, it's very pro wrestling-esque. If you told me that the writers on Lucha Underground were big fans of Tekken, I would 100% believe you, because there is just something very like soap opera meets combat about the Tekken narrative. This series centers around the Mishima family, who hosts the King of Iron Fist tournament. By the way, if you're dumb like me, Tekken is the Japanese word for Iron Fist. I did not know that until I was researching for this episode. So if you're dumb like me, we're not dumb anymore. Also, King of Iron Fist tournament is 100% the best tournament name. If there was a worse tournament name, sadly, that would have gone to our previous film, Dead or Alive. Terrible name for a tournament. Doesn't make any sense. Does not tell me that it's a tournament. King of Iron Fist tournament might be a little long. I'll give you that, but it is. That's a good name. But the Mishima family hosts this King of Iron Fist tournament where everybody involved has a desire to win the tournament and through it gain control of the Mishima Zaibatsu. I apologize for my pronunciation of these words if I'm way off here. Mishima Zaibatsu, which is the corporation that the Mishima family owns. That's right, folks. This is fighting game meets Succession. Like, this is about a dysfunctional family, two antagonists and a protagonist in this family who are hosting a tournament that kind of that in a way affects the future of the company. Like, that is so pro wrestling, and the pro wrestlingness of the franchise continues with some of the characters' designs and some of the character names. We have characters like Martial Law or Brian Fury. Tell me that's not the most indie sounding wrestler you have ever come across. Christy Montero's look is straight up Mickey James, not hardcore country Mickey James, but like that early 2000s Mickey James. Though he doesn't appear in the movie, you have characters like King, who is a fighter with a jaguar mask who is supposed to be inspired by Japanese pro wrestler Tiger Mask. There's literally a character named Raven, and there's even a kangaroo named Roger. Like, tell me this is not a fighting game for the pro wrestling fans. Maybe the younger pro wrestling fans and certain incels were playing Dead or Alive more, but like, Tekken is the fighting game for the pro wrestling fans. And Tekken has been a very successful franchise. When you look at arcade and console value, Tekken is number three in both categories, which I think is genuinely impressive that they are number three in both arcade sales and in console sales. And as these things would go, if you have a very financially successful form of an IP in one form of media, then you gotta take it out to some other forms of media to see if you can score a buck there. Talks for the Tekken film began in 2002. This movie was stuck in developmental hell for 7 years. I cannot do math in this episode. This movie was stuck in developmental hell for 7 years and had a lot of ebbs and flows, highs and lows at various points. Rock the Dwayne Johnson was attached to the project. The big goal of this film was not necessarily to make an accurate Tekken movie as much as it was originally to be the first on-screen appearance of both Jackie Chan and Jet Li together in one movie. And they were cautiously, hesitantly connected with the project for a very long time. The hesitation was the fact that they were being pitched to play villains, which is something that neither one of them have really done very much in their career, if at all. But after many script rewrites, changing of the guard with directors and producers, eventually Sony, sadly, pulled out on their distribution deal for the film, causing the movie to lose a ton of funding and also Jet and Jackie. Kudos to them, though, in one regard, because the pivot that they made when they lost a lot of their funding made sense. If they were going to have to go with actors who maybe don't have the film pedigree of Jackie Chan or Jet Li, their idea was, let's at least still get really good martial artists. And for the exception of one name in particular, we'll get to him in a moment, that the film does star predominantly lesser known actors and actresses. And they do a pretty good job. I really think if the big complaint about this movie is the acting and performances, look, I defended the movie earlier, but Mortal Kombat Annihilation is way worse by way of acting. Like, I've seen way worse movies and have talked about way worse movies by way of acting already for this show. Like, this movie does handle the acting really well, even if it is lower tiered actors at the time. They're even better than the people in the first Mortal Kombat, or in the 2021 Mortal Kombat. Unfortunately for the Tekken thing, the Tekken movie, that whole Sony not distributing the movie thing never got really fixed. And the movie ended up getting made without a distributor, very similar to the issue that DOA Dead or Alive had. They shopped it around, ended up getting a distribution deal for the Asian market, but ultimately Tekken was released direct to DVD here in the States. Thankfully, though, since it was intended to be a major motion picture, by way of direct to DVD films, this is a really high quality film. Like, the sets look really good. The visual effects are really good. You would not think, if it wasn't for the fact that I just told you, if you watched this movie, you would not know that this was a direct-to-DVD film, as opposed to its highly unnecessary follow-up sequel slash reboot slash prequel, Tekken 2, which did come out direct-to-DVD, and does look it. I haven't seen it for myself. I've only watched clips and looked at the poster. Like, it is very, very firmly a direct-to-DVD film. And yeah, even the executive producer who worked on both movies said Tekken 2 was a big mistake. But we're not here to talk about Tekken 2. We're here to talk about this first movie, and hopefully I will never have to talk about that, the follow-up. I don't know if I have it in me to do that one. But the Tekken film follows Jin Kazuma, as it should, played by John Fu, who would go on to play Detective Lee in the Rush Hour television series, which I always forget exists. He enters the King of Iron Fist tournament after beating Martial Law in a qualifying match. Martial Law is played by former UFC fighter Kung Lee. While competing in the tournament, he ends up falling in love with Christy Montero, who is played by Kelly Overton, who would go on to play Vanessa Helsing in the sci-fi Van Helsing television series. Jin's motive for competing in the King of Iron Fist tournament is to, in an attempt to kill the owner of the Mishima company, Tekken, which is the name of the company in the movie, Hirachi Mishima, played by Kari Haruki Tagawa. That's right, folks. Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat, the OG Mortal Kombat movie, is playing the big bad of the Tekken movie. He's managed to play two big bads in two different video game franchises. This movie was just a Robin show away from being an ode to Mortal Kombat, which is the one thing they were trying to avoid doing with this movie. A couple other names worth mentioning here. We have Raven being played by Darren DeWitt Henson, who was an actor who also worked as a dance choreographer for most of his career. He actually won an award for choreographing NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye. That's right. The guy behind Bye 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 is in this movie. That was a cool thing that I found. And my boy Eddie Gordo is played by Latif Crowder, who is a stunt performer, actor, and also martial artist. He does capoeira. That's a big part of this, the Mortal Kombat franchise, and also, again, the aim that this movie had after Jet Li and Jackie Chan left of, we're going to have big, if we can't have big named actors, we're going to have really good martial artists. So along with being a total pro wrestling vibe, there is another vibe that Tekken brings to the table. This movie is the Hunger Games. It's the Hunger Games, folks. If you saw the Hunger Games, but you haven't seen Tekken. Congratulations, you saw Tekken. Now, the Hunger Games movie did come out a few years later in 2012, but the book had already been out. And it's hard for me to say that there's any kind of plagiarism going on here, seeing how the script had gone through several rewrites over the course of 7 years. And the whole, hey, let's have a tournament fight to entertain the masses while corrupt people run the government is kind of like a, you know, that goes back as far as the Colosseum, right? But this movie is about how after World War III, all of the world's governments fell apart in 2039, and major corporations stepped in to take over running various countries. North America was taken over by the most powerful one, the Tekken Corporation. And every year, Tekken hosts the King of Iron Fist tournament to basically flex their power to the other corporations, put the people in their place, while also providing a bit of spectacle for the masses. Jin comes from the poorest district to compete in the tournament, leaving behind his at-home girlfriend to go compete in the tournament, even though he then also ends up falling in love with another competitor in the tournament and ends up winning control of the corporation at the end. Spoilers. And I mean, that's kind of the plot, the thing. And I guess it's like the Emperor of North America now or something. And look, again, the fact that, like, you know, having a tournament spectacle to entertain the masses, to distract from, like, the tyranny that's actually going on, it's all very prophetic and maybe hitting a little too close to home right now, especially the part in the movie when he goes to buy coffee grounds and it's, like, buku bucks in order to buy coffee. But look, to me, it was the fact that he literally comes from the lowest the poorest district, and he has a girlfriend there and has a girlfriend in the tournament who's also a competitor. Like, how is that not the Hunger Games? That is the Hunger Games. Like, it was so weird. There is, however, one thing, and I'm starting to run out of time here today, but there is one thing that I have left out that I will get to, which Tekken fans will be so happy that I do get to, because it's something that this movie left out that they never got to: the Devil Gene. So in Tekken lore, Asriel, you know, the demon, gives certain characters, actually members of the Mishima family, the Devil Gene, which essentially mutates their cells and over time gives them abilities and whatnot, but also gives them like a villainous alter ego. There's even one for Jin because he's a part of this family. The Devil Gene, the devil, yeah, it goes by a couple different names throughout the franchise history, is completely absent from this movie. There is no mention whatsoever of the Mishima. There is this like, you're actually a Mishima. That explains why you're so angry all the time, because the Mishimas are all just very angry men. Like, there is a throwaway line like that, but there is no hint, foreshadowing, nothing. He doesn't have a cool arm, nothing. There is nothing about the Devil Gene here. So as opposed to Mortal Kombat 2021, where they introduced the whole dragon tattoo superpower thing, or Double Dragon, where they introduced the medallion thing that gave them powers, this movie actually removed the superpower fighting system thing, the magic thing, out from the project. And it was because they were so worried about looking like and being compared to Mortal Kombat, even though that one came out in 95. Like, I get it. It's like the only other fighting game worth comparing to at that point, because I think Street Fighter was still entering its cult classic era by that point. But like, come on, it's gonna be, and it's so crucial to the, like, main plot that apparently if I understand correctly, Tekken fans are similar to Silent Hill fans in that they have yet to really get an adaption of their game in film, television, streaming, anime, whatever, that they all can collectively agree, this is the good one. This is the one that really represents our brand, our property. Well, I think I've drawn it out long enough. So is Tekken really that bad? I think if you're a Tekken fan, yes. If you're a fan of the video game franchise, I completely understand why you would like not like this movie. But from that like highbrow Rotten Tomatoes, does it really deserve a flat 0%? It's fine. Like I genuinely, I watched it. The fighting's good, and it visually, I think it really holds up, and the acting is passable. It's permissible. I forgot to mention, Jin also has like an old man training him who also was a tournament fighter. So that's another Hunger Games comparison. I just thought of that. But the movie itself is just fine. Like it's not fine. Like it's good. It's passable. Like no, this is the most meh I have ever felt about a movie, I think. Like genuinely, even beyond this show, like it is just so okay. I could totally see putting it on for background noise because it really is just white noise. But it's just okay. I really think a zero does not do this movie. I think that's very unfair. Yeah, but this is part of the reason why I do have this is part of the reason why I do actually include the Rotten Tomatoes stuff in the reviews, because I think it does show like how this review system does fail. Again, there's another one I want to talk about that also sheds light on how this whole rating system, like to me, if a movie is just kind of fine, it's kind of okay, then it's like a 50%, you know, like it's halfway good and halfway bad, right? But that's not, yeah. So it's fine. It's fine. It existed. I watched it and I have no strong emotional attachment to it, good, bad, or otherwise. It's just there for me. Would I watch it again? Again, I could see it as background noise. Would I buy a physical media copy of it? I don't know if I need it to take up the shelf space. But that being said, listener, if you want to check it out, I've got some bad news for you, because as of the recording of this episode, it is only available rent or buy or on streaming. So I did have the thought, once I realized that I didn't have time to do this or time to go to my local library to see if they happen to have it. But I was like, well, maybe I should just, if I'm going to have to spend money on this anyway, I might as well go pick up a copy for, it was like $2 to rent it, so it probably would have been the same at a resale shop. So yeah, it was fine. Yeah, maybe of the video game movies I've reviewed this year, it might be like my least favorite so far, but it's because it really didn't really do much for me. I gotta leave. I gotta get out of here. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please, if you haven't yet already, rate and review the show and pass this episode along to a friend. Check out the other shows here on the Anna's Out Podcast Network. And follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd Kung Fu Pizza PRTY. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less because I am not reviewing the second movie. And served up some wisdom. One slice at a time.